Welcome once again to worship. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is present with each one of us through the Holy Spirit of God. We have been blessed with another busy week. Once again, I want to thank Margaret, Caroline and Michael, who have helped in the shop and the cafe this week. And of course, Elsie's had a lot of steaming to do, so, and sorting out the stock, so thank you to her too. We have some sad news this week. One of our regular visitors from Leicestershire, Cliff Marriott, has passed away. I received a phone call from his wife, Janet. We will hold her and Cliff's family and friends in our prayers at this sad time. We had some good news on Friday. Johanna has finally had her operation. She is in a lot of pain, and so we continue to pray for her and Stuart. It was also great to see Susan Upton from Derby this week. It's some time since she's been over. Of course, it's been great to welcome so many of our regular visitors too. Wherever you are today or whenever you join in with this service, let us all celebrate as one big community in one spirit, joined in fellowship with each other and God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, for we are all living with God. As we enter God's holy presence, let us all be ready to hear God speaking to us through his word. Let us open our hearts and minds to see God all around us and within us as we worship the living God. Let's now sing, "To Be in Your Presence, Lord." Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and can become a tree. My dear friends, we are kingdom seeds to grow God's kingdom. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. My dear friends, we are like priceless gems to God. Let us pray. O Lord, we are your people. We are the seeds of your kingdom. We are precious pearls. You have sought us, found us. You have nurtured us in order that your kingdom may grow in and through us. You have protected us. You have entrusted your world to us. Lord, we pray that we might be worthy of your investment of yourself in each one of us, that your kingdom might grow and flourish. So precious are we to you, Lord, that you gave everything for us, even to death on a cross. O Lord, mere words cannot convey what a privilege it is to be heirs to your kingdom. As we explore your word today, help us to learn to wait and trust you for the future. Open our minds to discern your plan for our lives, and may we see all the amazing things you can do in our lives. And Lord, we indeed lift your name on high. Amen. Let's sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. As I'm sure you know by now, the overall theme for our worship together during July is living with God. For indeed we are. During this month, we have been taking a closer look at some of the sayings and parables of Jesus that relate to the theme of seeds. When Jesus uses the example of seeds, he is referring to the kingdom of God. This month, we've already explored that despite our faith being hard for us to live out in the world around us, we can live life to the full by following our Maker's instructions. We have seen how God is active in our lives and in our communities. If only people could bring themselves to trust God and unlock His Spirit living in them. And when we do, we find that we can trust God for protection. Despite all of that, we are so often far too anxious for immediate answers. And when they don't come immediately, we become impatient. So from our scriptures this week, we explore how to slow down and open our eyes to notice the small signs of God's reign already around us. We will experience God's love if we wait and trust. So this week we explore waiting and trusting. That said, I know that it appears from all the events going on in the world and in this country that God's reign seems to be diminishing rapidly. But this should not discourage us, but indeed it should spur us on with the work of building the kingdom of God. And as we do, we must learn to trust and wait. Well, more of this later, but let's praise God from our hearts in prayer. Let's pray. God, our Father, you looked upon the hearts of your people. You saw a messy, chaotic life and loved us enough to send your Son, Jesus. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Jesus, you came a treasure from heaven to walk this earth, teaching and serving before suffering for the love of those you came to save. Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. Holy Spirit, through Jesus you reside in and with us. You remind, prompt and help us with all that we need to navigate our days in integrity and love. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise. Lord God, your hand has guided and protected your flock from age to age and continues to do so even now. Blessed Trinity of God, we give you our thanks and praise. Amen. Let's sing again now to remind ourselves that God's hand has guided his flock from age to age. Let's sing, Thy Hand, O God, Has Guided.
Thank you.
So the psalmist writes, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed." Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us so many wonderful gifts, and for calling us to share in your kingdom. Make us faithful stewards of what we have. We ask you, Lord, to forgive those times when our hearts have been fixed on ourselves and not on the kingdom of heaven. Lord, you have won for us the treasure of forgiveness and eternal life. Forgive us our ingratitude when we turn away from you. Lord, you bring us the treasure of the Father's love. Forgive us for our hard-heartedness when we reject the needs of others. Lord, in the family of your church, you give us the treasure of your presence and strength. Forgive us our apathy when we fail to spend time with you. Father God, your Son Jesus' death on the cross was love in action, a redeeming love that untangled us from all sin and washed us clean. Through him, we are forgiven and free. And Lord, as we reflect on our own sin, we take comfort from the promise of forgiveness expressed in the wonderful words, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Hear then the word of grace and the assurance of pardon. Your sins are forgiven for his sake. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's sing, "There is a Redeemer."
Thank you.
we know that you have entrusted us, your church, to pray for all people, that they may discover the treasure of faith and have communion with you. Lord, you hold us, your church, in your love. We pray for your church in this country and around the world. We pray for Christians in many countries that are having to meet and worship in secret. We pray for all churches threatened with closure due to falling numbers and revenues. We pray for the churches that are seeing growth and pray for new Christians setting out on their journey of faith. We pray for all Christian people that they may hold their faith dear and continue to live according to your instructions and your guidance. Lord, we pray for the new Prime Minister, the fourth under King Charles's reign. We pray that Andy Burnham and his new cabinet will have the integrity to bring stability and unity to this country. God of truth and power, guide those in government to navigate the messy maze of politics and be aware of your presence amid the mess. We pray, Lord, for the leaders of all nations as they work to find a way forward for the people they represent. We pray for Christians the world over showing your love and compassion to those in need, especially those suffering amid conflicts. We think especially of the war in Ukraine, the hostilities in the Middle East, and the famine in Sudan. Lord, we continue to pray for peace in your world. Lord, bless all those surrounded by war, violence and upheaval, living in now derelict and destroyed areas that were once comfortable places to live. Bless them in their distress, in their pain, in their loss and confusion. Bless them in their searching for new ways, new hopes, new dreams, new homes. Bless them in their search to make sense of life and love. We pray for a blessing on all those living in the midst of excessive heat and wildfires. We pray for the ever-changing climate and the adaptations needed to cope with increasing temperatures. We pray for our farmers reliant on the weather for their livelihoods and for those farmers who have lost crops and grazing pasture due to the wildfires. God of mercy, help us all to navigate the maze of climate change in the knowledge that you are there amid the mess. And Lord, we pray for families, especially those rejected by loved ones, parents, siblings, and for those people rejected by society. And Lord, at the onset of school summer holidays, we pray for parents and grandparents juggling childcare around work. We pray for working parents who have no one to help them, and for children left to fend for themselves for hours at a time. God of love, help the rejected, the lonely and the neglected to know that you are there amid the mess. We pray that they turn to you and your people for help. Lord, we ask a blessing on those who have lost loved ones. We especially remember Janet and her family as they mourn the loss of Cliff, who we know was such a wonderful Christian. May their faith help them through this difficult time. We pray for the sick and for those in need, that in their suffering they might find care and compassion from those around them. And Lord, we pray for all who are risking their own lives and livelihoods to serve others. We pray for all who care for their loved ones who are ill or suffering at this time. And Lord, we hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those we know, as we bring you their names from our hearts. Lord, speak refreshment, assurance and warmth over lives afflicted by exhaustion and illness. Speak calm, gentleness and comfort over lives broken by grief and loss. Speak power, anointing and healing over each one of us as we wait on you and trust you for the future. And as you taught us, Lord, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Father, we place into your hands the things that we can't do, the times that we've been through. Father, we place into your hands our friends and family, for we know we always can trust you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's sing, Father, we place into your hands.
Father, I place into your hands the things that I can do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. Into your hands, my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be. For I know I always can trust you. To seek your face, we love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise and in your name rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you and in your presence rest. For we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you. For I know that I am one with you. For I know that I am one with you. For I know that I am one with you.
Again, we pause to make our offering to the Lord, and I want to thank all of you who continue with your tithing, and a special thanks to those who are tithing your time by helping, by help you give in running our community outreach. It's a lot of time and commitment, and so thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Amen. In his letter to the Romans, Paul tells his readers just how special they are in the sight of God. He outlines the hope with which he expects the believers to wait for the fulfilment of God's purpose. This hope is that God will not abandon them, no matter what might befall, because they are priceless possessions of God. The passage we're going to hear is deeply moving, with its reassurance that even when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit is praying for us. Paul tells the Christians in Rome that they are special. God has always loved them and always will. He has chosen them and ordered their lives to bring them to the point when they have become children of God. Through this scripture, we too are being told that we are special and loved by God. And remember, this letter was written to be heard, not read. So let's listen and respond as we hear now from Paul's letter to the Romans.
The reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What, then, shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who has raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And he goes on, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when I was reading those words, I was reminded of an old hymn written in the 18th century by William Williams. He was Welsh, would you believe? Music, song and worship were at the heart of the 1904 Welsh Revival, which is one of the best documented and best known revivals of all, and certainly one of the most powerful. Over a period of 2 years, the fire of the Holy Spirit swept over the whole principality and was carried by visiting pastors to Norway, Japan, America, India, South Africa and Korea, where further revivals broke out. At the height of the Welsh Revival, churches stayed open for 24 hours a day, with people praying earnestly to God. Coal miners rushed home at the end of a grueling day to wash themselves and get to chapel as quickly as they could. Hopeless drinkers and gamblers were powerfully converted and became soul winners themselves. Rough pit workers prayed together before their day's work, and crime fell almost to nothing. Policemen complained they had nothing to do. Dance halls were deserted, several pubs closed through lack of trade, and whole rugby teams were converted and cancelled their fixtures. Singing was a fruit of the revival, as God raised up his people in praise through the power of his Spirit. The words are a bit dated, as are many of our hymns, but they serve to put fire in our souls just as much today as they did at the beginning of the 20th century. Let us raise our voices and renew our commitment to bring revival as we sing, Onward March, All Conquering Jesus. So Paul writes, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And he says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, we must be pretty special for God to have done that for us. The value God puts on us is the life of his own son. That makes us of priceless value. All the parables in chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel teach us about God and his kingdom. And in the parables we're about to hear, there's a special emphasis on our value in the kingdom and a reminder, if one were needed, of just how priceless and valuable is the privilege of being part of God's kingdom. I wonder, do we really understand just how special we are? Just how priceless is the value of being a member of the kingdom of God? Let's hear now from Matthew's Gospel.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 33 and 44 to 52. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour, until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
That passage from Matthew's Gospel is packed full of parables, all focusing on the kingdom of God. It starts off by comparing the kingdom of God to a tiny seed, which despite the size of the seed, eventually grows into a massive tree, where even the birds perch in its branches. This, of course, takes time, so it's about waiting and trusting that the seed will grow into a massive tree. And it's the same with our faith in the kingdom of God. It's about waiting and trusting. Despite all that's going on around us in this country and the world, we have to wait patiently with trust that God's kingdom will eventually flourish in the world he created. You know, I expect we can all think of many examples of tiny seeds producing huge plants or even trees. The classic example often used in Sunday schools and schools, well, when I was a kid anyway, is to get the kids to plant a sunflower seed and then see who can grow the biggest plant. Well, I'm a keen gardener, but I've struggled to grow sunflowers. I'll keep trying. I must be doing something wrong. Perhaps I'm too impatient. What Jesus is trying to tell us here is that even the smallest and least significant things are capable of incredible power. And it's just like that with our faith. It may have small beginnings, but it will grow and produce great results. Just think about how Christianity has spread throughout the world from very, very small beginnings. And that spread has been, by and large, through individual one-to-one contact. Even one person spreading the good news of Jesus can bring about a great change. All of which starts with one special person, the person of the Holy Spirit. And when we awaken that Spirit which lives in us, we can produce great results. It's just so exciting, frightening even. And of course, this links so well with the second parable, where Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." This isn't just about growth. It's about transformation. The yeast transforms the flour. So it is with our faith. Nourished and nurtured, slowly but surely, faith grows until it transforms us. But we have to wait and trust. Well, growing is one thing. But the kingdom of God isn't just about size. It's about value. There are actually 5 mini parables in that passage we heard. The first 2, as we've just seen, are about growth and power, or transforming power. But then Jesus goes on to talk about value. In the 3rd parable, there is a reminder, if one were needed, of just how priceless and valuable is the privilege of being part of God's kingdom. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Our faith, being part of God's kingdom, is worth more than anything else. The man who discovered the treasure hidden in the field may have stumbled upon it by accident, but he knew the value when he found it. We find faith in many different ways. Maybe faith actually finds us. Again, it may be that we're not actually looking for it. It could be that we think we have a faith, only to suddenly discover that a real faith was actually missing from our life. And then, when we do find it, we know instantly that it's the real thing. And like the man who discovered the treasure in the field, we know straight away that a true faith is worth infinitely more than anything else we could possibly have. But actually in the parable, while it might seem on the face of it that the transaction to buy the field cost the man everything, in reality, he paid nothing for the priceless treasure itself. It came free with the field. Our faith, being part of God's kingdom, is just so precious. Yet God gives it to us as a gift. We get it for free. And why does he do so? Well, the answer comes in the 4th of these mini parables, a parable which places a special emphasis on our value in the kingdom. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." I want you just to think about that for a moment. In this particular parable, the kingdom of heaven is not the precious pearl, but the merchant, in effect, God. And so what Jesus is saying is this, that God, like the merchant, is seeking the finest pearls. And you know what? Those pearls are us, God's people, you and me. Jesus is saying that God is willing to pay the ultimate price to possess the finest pearls. The price God was willing to pay to redeem us was the death of his own son. God found us and gave up his son because we are so special. Do we really understand this? Just how special we are? Just how precious it is to be a member of the kingdom of God? Have we really taken this on board? Do we have any idea just how precious we are in God's sight? Everything we could own in this life is subject to fluctuation in price. Buying anything is pure speculation. But investing our lives in the kingdom of God is worth more than anything else we could possibly own. Its value is priceless. Well, this doesn't mean that all that happens to us is good. Evil is prevalent in our fallen world. But God is able to turn every circumstance around for our long-range good. As we saw last week in the parable of the weeds, Satan is at work in and around us. But God is protecting his people. You know, a common misunderstanding is that when we become Christians, everything in the garden is going to be rosy. But being a Christian isn't just about being happy. It's about fulfilling God's purpose for us. To make us the people we were created to be. To make us citizens of heaven. And grant us a share of eternity. So we will find difficulties along life's path. We will indeed be tempted by Satan. But as believers, we're not left to our own resources to cope with problems. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works in everything, the good and the bad, for our good. Well, this all sounds terrific, but for most of us, living in today's fallen world is really difficult, especially when it comes to holding on to our faith. I talked earlier a little about the Welsh Revival, but of course that was in 1904, 122 years ago. So why is it relevant to us today? Well, it's just so relevant because it shows that even in the times of deepest despair, revival is possible. God's ultimate goal for us is to make us like Christ. As we become more and more like him, we discover our true selves, the person we were created to be. God's purpose for us was not an afterthought. It was settled before the foundation of the world. Everything was created to serve and honour God and to receive eternal life. But, as I've said so often, we've all also been given the freedom to choose. But if you believe in Jesus, you can rejoice in the fact that God has always known you. God's love is eternal. His wisdom and power are supreme. He will guide and protect you until one day you will stand in his presence. Paul writes to the Romans, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? The message from Scripture today is that we must learn to be patient. We must continue to trust God. We must constantly be opening our eyes to notice that even the small signs of God's reign already around us. Our faith, the faith of the nations, will grow as more and more people realize that there is only one true answer to the evils of this world, and that is God's love. And God's love is eternal. His wisdom and power are supreme. He will guide and protect you until one day you will stand in his presence. In the meantime, however, we are left waiting and trusting. But our waiting must not be inactive. We all have work to do, and that work becomes more and more urgent with each passing day. Not only do we need to trust God for the saving of our own souls, but we need to convince others to trust God too. The kingdom's growth is in our hands. My dear friends, those verses from Paul's letter to the Romans contain one of the most comforting promises in all Scripture. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. If we believe the overwhelming assurances contained in that letter, we will never be afraid. Just remember, we are priceless in God's sight. We are so precious. And the kingdom of God is worth more than anything we could ever own. So keep waiting, keep trusting, for you will receive your reward. In the meantime, we are all facing a task unfinished, which so often can drive us to our knees. But remember, our task is to go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's sing Facing a Task Unfinished. Lord, as we go our separate ways today, we acknowledge you as our Lord and Saviour, and we acknowledge that we are precious in your sight. So we go in peace and love, trusting and waiting in the knowledge that nothing, nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. And so we go with the blessing of God to serve the Lord and his people, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.